Can you please open your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 through 10. Grace and peace may multiply to you in the knowledge of God and our Jesus, our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His glory and virtue, by which has been given to us exceedingly and great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, given all diligence, and add to your faith to virtue, knowledge to knowledge, self-control to self-control, perseverance to perseverance, and godliness to godliness, brotherly kindness and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his older sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, if you do these things, you will never stumble.
What's the invitation song by? 608. Mark, if you would, number 608. And we'll sing that in just a few minutes. This evening, the lesson is going to be brought by four of our young men from the same passage that Ben just read for us here. Owen is going to be bringing the first lesson dealing with verses 2 through 4 that serve kind of as an introduction to the entire passage. And then Jacob, Silas, and Titus will look at the verses that follow. And then when they're done, I'll come up and say a few concluding words. The title of this lesson is Beyond Belief. One of the things that Peter is really dealing with in these verses is the fact that faith has to do with much more than just believing some things. And so the young men, we've been kind of chewing on this passage for the past few months while we looked at some different things and how to arrange our thoughts and kind of dig in and think about what the Bible says to us and how it applies to our individual and daily lives. So this evening we're going to take a look at how to be fruitful in our faith as we apply the different virtues that are found in Christ. Owen?
Good evening. On behalf of the young men's class, I would like to thank the congregation for allowing us to give the lesson this evening. I would also like to thank Steve for all the help he has given us in preparation for tonight. Our lesson this evening will be coming from 2 Peter 1. Kids in America spend 6 to 8 hours a day in school to gain academic knowledge. But how much time is actually spent trying to gain the knowledge of God? Please turn with me to 2 Peter 1, verses 2 through 4. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who has called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Our world places a lot of importance on worldly knowledge, but there is a more important knowledge, the knowledge of God. In verse 1 of 2 Peter, the Apostle Peter, by the Holy Spirit, writes to those of the same faith as his. In verses 2 and 3, Peter wants us to consider knowledge, not just any knowledge, but the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, his Son. We must have the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord that is revealed in Scripture. And through that knowledge, we have the benefit of grace and peace. His divine power, which is His Word, has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Why does Peter admonish us to know God and Jesus Christ? In John 14:9, Jesus said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." So whatever we come to know about Jesus, that is what we can know and believe about God as well. They are one in purpose. 2 Peter 1:1-4 says that knowing the Father and the Son provides Christians grace, peace, and everything we need to live a full and godly life. Christians have also been given great promises through this knowledge. We have been given the opportunity to be partakers in the divine nature of God. Christians, through the knowledge of God and Jesus, helps us to escape worldliness. The great question is then, how can one know God and His Son? Jesus Himself answers this question in Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And again in Mark 16:15-16, "And He said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned.'" Knowing, believing, and obeying Christ begins with hearing Him. In Romans 10:17, it says, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." True knowledge is perfected in obedience to Christ, the Son of God. 1 John 2:3 reads, "By this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments." We have spent a few minutes talking about the knowledge of God, God's power, and His promises. We should not rely on our power, but God's power and knowledge.
Good evening. I'll be coming from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. "But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge." What is your top priority in your daily life? Last summer, we had to change the starter in the RV. Keep in mind, a motorhome starter is 100 to 130 pounds. When putting the starter on, we need to give all diligence so that none of us would get hurt. What is the reason we should give all diligence? Because people aren't naturally Christ-like. Why should we do this? So we can be partakers in divine nature. What is divine nature? It is the chance that God has given us as Christians to spend eternity in heaven someday with Him. Only if we have these qualities. Do not be lazy in the calling God has given us, but instead strive to work diligently to the standard God expects. The word virtue in Greek means moral excellence or goodness. It is the tendency to act good. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there is any virtue and if there is any praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Proverbs 31 lists some attributes of a virtuous woman. They are valuable, they are trustworthy, they are prosperous, they are blessings to other people, they are a hard worker, they provide for their family, they are good stewards of their money, they are strong, and they are charitable. Does this sound like a selfish person to you? No. Virtues, in fact, aren't just home priorities. Where does virtue come into our daily life? It is the moral standard of Christians to apply it in everyday life. The knowledge of Christ. The model of diligence and virtue is Christ Himself. And if we are going to be like Christ, we need to know Him. Where do we learn about Christ at? The Bible. Jesus tells His disciples in Matthew 16:24, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Paul is saying to be examples of Christ as he was himself. We have spent a couple of minutes talking about diligence and why it is important in our daily lives, becoming a virtuous people, and how to apply it in our daily lives, and knowing and becoming like Jesus himself.
Tonight I will be reading from 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 6. And to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness. When you turn on the TV or read on the news, you can see that this world is going out of control and is losing faith. Recently, A&E invited Phil Robertson to a talk about gay marriage being wrong. And you know what Phil did? He recited 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. And for talking about the Bible, A&E scolded him. He had to persevere through the trials that the devil put before him. Millions of people responded about Phil's, what some people call, intolerance. Perseverance is important because we need to endure through the trials that the devil puts before us. Perseverance means steadfastness in doing something despite the difficulty. Paul had great perseverance because in Rome he was being persecuted by his own brethren and his friends. And he had to persevere through these trials that the devil put before him. Many people believe that godliness is being like God, but it really means the awareness of God's presence. Godliness is important because if we are aware of his presence, we won't be afraid of anything. We can overcome every trial the devil puts before us using perseverance and godliness. Let's look back in Psalms chapter 139, verses 11 through 12. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover over me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. This means that God will always be with us when there's darkness, and where the devil lies, he will be with us, so we don't have to be afraid. David had great godliness because even though he had punishments that God gave him, he had perseverance, and after that he had more godliness than he ever had because he knew God would always be with him. Self-control is important because without it we would become easy targets for temptation, and going into temptation would lead us to sin. But if we have perseverance, godliness, and self-control, we would be one step further than the devil in his plans of destruction. Jesus had great self-control when he was on the cross in Galilee. He had to have self-control so that he didn't destroy everyone and destroy the earth. Because of his self-control, we can now go to heaven and repent and be baptized. None of us are perfect. This means we must try our hardest and perseverance from the harshness of the devil, godliness to know that God is with us so we don't have to be frightened by the devil, and self-control so that we can overcome every temptation that Satan puts before us.
Good evening. Tonight my lesson will be coming from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 7 through 8. In godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The world we live in is truly lacking love. Agape and phileo are two words that have same meanings but different meanings. Agape has to do with actions, and phileo is more of a love that comes deep down in your heart. There will always be stumbling blocks for love because it's not always going to be easy to love someone. Love can sometimes be like numbers. You can't go on knowing 1, 2, and 3. You need to increase in them, just like we should be doing with our love. If you go to a park and there's a mom and her child walking and the child falls, the mom would pick her child up and help him because she has love for him. If you heard phileo and agape, what would you think of those words? I would probably think they're some type of food. Well, phileo is a friendly love, like the love David and Jonathan had. It reads in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1 through 3. As soon as he finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul, and Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. Could you believe that? Someone loving you as much as they loved themselves? Wouldn't that be amazing? I'd probably take it for granted, but all of you probably wouldn't. Agape is the sacrificial love, like the love Jesus had between everyone. He really had to show love, taking all of our sins and dying on the cross, because he didn't have to do that. In Peter chapter 1, verses 8, it says we'll be safe and ineffective from God's word if we increase in these qualities. It doesn't mean love your dog or love your money or love your car. It's about you and everyone around you. In Romans 12, verse 10, it says, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. In John 13, 34, it says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. In 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through the beginning of 8, it says, love is patient and kind. It does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant, rude. It does not insist on its own ways. It is not irritable, resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love will never fail. Talking about unfruitful, in John 15, verses 2 and 6, it says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will become more fruitful. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. So what have we learned? We've learned that phileo and agape are not food. Phileo is a friendly love, and agape is a sacrificial love. So if you're a parent and your child asks you, what is phileo and agape? You don't just say love. You explain them the true meaning. And if you put this in your daily life and increase in it every day, you will surely prosper.
The last couple of verses in this section. Hold this up here for you, Ben. Verses 9 and 10 kind of summarize the things that have been discussed in the preceding verses. Let us know really how important it is to move beyond just a mere belief in our life. You know, there are a lot of well-intentioned parents and congregations and Bible classes that really focus in on teaching some stories and teaching some memory verses without really getting down to the nuts and bolts of developing Christ-like character and virtues within not only the congregation, but especially the young ones that are growing up, our young men and women. They deserve better. They deserve to be discipled, which is what Christ has called each and every one of us to do, to make disciples. And that doesn't just come from a 30-minute Bible class or a 30-minute sermon. It comes from raising up and practicing what God has said to us. And in these two verses here, Peter continues. He says, for whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind. Now, one of the cartoons that my brothers and I loved, and maybe the reason why we loved it so much is because it was so hard to find, was Mr. Magoo. I don't know if you ever watched Mr. Magoo, but even when I was a kid, you could hardly find Mr. Magoo, but when he came on, we wanted to watch him. He's at the old guy. He's, I don't know, like 150, and his eyes are all squinted up, and he can't see anything, but he still wants to do everything. But he's so nearsighted, unless it's just right up on him, he can't see it at all. And Peter says there are some Christians who think it's enough to just believe some things. But if we don't have these qualities that Owen and Jacob and Silas and Titus have been talking about this evening, if we don't have these things in our lives in an increasing manner, then we are just as nearsighted. We spent time this morning in this morning's sermon talking about how it's possible for God's own people to go through life blind. Those spiritual blinders are. We get so caught up in the physical and this temporal world that we live in. I mean, we've got bills to pay, we've got jobs, we've got responsibilities all over the place. And life, in especially here in America, is just so hectic. That's one of the things that I really miss about, like, over in Ghana and down in Guyana. Even though life is very demanding and there are some extremely difficult challenges, they are not so fast-paced to just get caught up in all of the rush of life. They are still very given to the spiritual and to thinking about the fact that there is something so much better than what this world has to offer. And Peter is concerned that Christians will just go through life believing some things without giving a top priority, as Owen started off mentioning. What are our priorities? What are we going to give our attention to? And we need to make sure that we're not going through life nearsighted and blind. At verse 10, we need, as he says, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent. Jacob spending some time talking about diligence. And when it comes to just putting in a starter for an RV, you got to show diligence because it might be a matter of life and death for the guy that has that thing, 130-pound piece of equipment drop on him. Well, there are some spiritual things that demand even more diligence because they too are matters of life and death, not only this present life, but eternally speaking. And so we need to have diligence to make our calling and our election sure. We need to make sure that we're really giving ourselves to this life of faith as God has called us to. And it involves the love, it involves the knowledge, it involves all of those attributes that Peter has been mentioning here. And not just to know them and know about them, as important as it is to know the difference between a phileo and agape love, it's even more important to practice them, to put them into our daily living and our daily activity. You know, there are some people that we run into at work and neighbors that we meet out on the street, people we run into down at the store, that we are as close as they may get to a Bible ever, and we may be the one avenue that they have to be introduced to God's Word and God's Son, the saving plan of the redemption through the gift of God's Son. And so we need to make sure that we have them in increasing manner, that we're practicing them, so that not only are we effective and fruitful, as Titus was talking about, but so that we will also never fall ourselves. If we're just going through life believing some things, it's just a matter of time before we get tripped up, because we have been called to a lifestyle. We have been called to a way of faith. John calls it a walk. In 1 John chapter 1, there is a walk in the light and there is a walk in the darkness. And those are the only two possibilities. A walk in the light is to be as given as you can possibly be to striving for that example that is found in God. Now, John begins in 1 John 1 verse 5 by saying that God is light in whom there is no darkness at all. Jesus was the perfect manifestation of all of these traits that Peter has talked about here. And as long as we are given to trying to emulate that and to follow in Jesus' footsteps, we have the assurance, John says in 1 John 1, 7, that we will be continuously cleansed of our sins by the blood of Christ. But then there is the other side of that, who John was dealing with. They were still people that had some beliefs about Jesus. They had some beliefs about the Bible, but they also believed that it really didn't matter how you lived. And so John deals with them in 1 John 1 verse 6. He says, if we walk in the darkness, we lie and claim to have fellowship. And we lie and we do not know the truth. There is a difference made not just in what we know, but how we live. And for the past several weeks, for the past few months, we've been looking at that in our class, looking at these virtues, these moral principles that are given to us for daily life. And these young men spent their own time digging into that and wording their messages and thinking about how to not only apply that in their life, but how to share that with others. And I'm looking forward to what they have to offer in the future, the lessons that they'll be bringing as they spring forward off of this. And this is an encouragement to each and every one of us to spend our own time and making sure that we do know what God has said to us and that we take that one step further and to actually practice it, to practice what we preach, to put our faith into action so we can help and encourage one another and so that God will be glorified in our lives. I appreciate the lessons that have been brought this evening. I thank the young men for sharing and leading in our worship this evening. I want to make sure that if there's anyone here this evening who has not yet responded to that gospel invitation, if maybe up to this point you have just been holding on to some Bible beliefs, there is no better time to start putting those beliefs into practice, to respond to what you know about the good news of Jesus, to be immersed into Christ and to be raised up, as Owen is talking about in his message this evening, to be raised up out of those waters, freed from sin. And if you are subject to the invitation, whether it's a response to the gospel, if you're here and you're needing the prayers of the church, we invite you to come forward this evening as we stand and sing.